This is Pastor Sam, and I'm so excited that you're taking the time to listen to this week's sermon podcast. I hope it blesses your life. If you're a part of our Lighthouse Church family, we would love to connect with you via our social media at GoToLighthouse or online at GoToLighthouse.org. We want to get you plugged into a connect group or on our dream team so you can do life together with people who love God and who want the best for your life. Please stay tuned for some announcements at the end of this podcast. And now, here's this week's message. Everybody say, God is holy. Say it again, God is holy. So we say that, and the word means different things to different people. We use it in different contexts. Holy Lord, a lot of us say that right here and there. Holy cow, I don't get that, but people use it, right? I was driving down Bonita Road, and I saw a place called Holy Paleta. So needless to say, holy means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And somewhere in the midst of this casual mindset, we need to go back to understand when we say holy in reference to God, we need to understand what that means. When we say God is holy, what does it mean? What does it mean for God to be holy? How is that different and how is that special? How is that something that we need to really grasp? So as we think about the attributes of God, and over the last several weeks, we've been sharing a lot of different important attributes that are of God and things that make God who he is, unique and different, distinct from anybody else. And so as I come today and I say God is holy, it makes me think that, you know, there's so many different attributes that we could speak of. But to me, this one is kind of the one that sums them all up. This is the one from where all the other ones flow out of. Like, this is the one that maybe describes or is the source for so many of the other attributes of God. Like, God is love and God is forgiving and God is gracious. And like, all these things flow out of this one place. And so when we say God is holy, what does that mean? So let me try to define holy as it pertains to God, okay? A lot of words here, but just read them carefully because it's a bit of a mouthful. So when we say God is holy, what does holy mean as applied to God? So holy simply means that he is separate from and above all his creatures and creation. And he is pure and perfect without any trace of evil in his character. His holiness is the union of all his other attributes and the reason he deserves worship, service, and obedience. Holiness is the sum, the union of all the other attributes. So he's separate and above from anything else. He's pure and perfect without any trace of evil. Now, for our human mind, that's almost incomprehensible. Because on your best day, on your most perfect day, the day you're praying, fasting, and reading the Bible and listening to Christian music, that day, you know that one day? There's still plenty of trace of evil in us. Amen? How many of you know you can be doing a good thing, a godly thing, and still there's traces of evil? Raise your hand if you ever had a bad thought in church. It feels weird to admit that, right? Why is she here? He took my seat. Even on our best days, there are traces of evil in our character. So when we say God is pure, that means zero imperfection, zero contaminant, zero, like nothing in his character that's not pure. Not only is he pure, he's perfect. I know a lot of us think we're perfect on this one area that one time. No, God is perfect. lacks nothing, misses nothing, not short of anything. I mean, for us, that's a hard thing to fathom. That's a hard concept to just digest with our human mind, to be pure, to be perfect. I think the closest we can get that purity, that perfectness, that no contamination is like a little newborn baby, right? Maybe that's why we love little babies. And you gotta capture that moment like quick. Because it doesn't take long for their humanness to show up. But you know those first few days, they're just there and they open their little eyes. All the parents say amen. Remember those days? Like those 3 days. It's like literally like the first 3 days. After that, you begin to see traces. You begin to see selfishness. You begin to see attitude. How many knew one of your babies? Don't say who. How many knew like one of your babies would have attitude early on? Like you knew like, oh boy, wait a minute. You only have one daughter, that's not fair. Like you knew, right? It didn't take long for your humanity, the evil, to show up. But those first few days when they open the little mouth and the little movements, it's like perfect. It's perfection. Like capture that, like video it, because it's going to be gone. So for us to understand that God is perfect, always has been, always will be. There is no trace of evil in God. Never has been, never will be. I mean, that consistency, that is so not human. Amen? So he is separate from, above all, his creatures and creations, pure and perfect, without any trace of evil in his character. Everybody say character. Ooh, character. I want to do a series on character. Because a lot of times what we focus is on the outside stuff, the actions, the behaviors. But what fuels and drives all that is the character within. That's the source. Those are the roots. That's where you draw from. We'll work on that. No trace of evil in his character. In his holiness, this perfection, this purity, that which only God has, right? There's nothing like, there's no one even close to that. That is the union of all his other attributes and the reason why he deserves worship, service, and obedience. So as you read the Bible, go back to the Old Testament through the New Testament, this attribute of God's holiness is central to our understanding of who God is. Our understanding, our recognition of his holiness is central to our worship of God. Now, I want you to understand something. Not only is God holy from our perspective, he is holy in heaven's perspective. Matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah has a vision, and he gets like a glimpse of heaven. As a prophet, he gets a glimpse of what's happening in heaven at a moment in time. And he captures that, which is awesome for us to have access to that. He has access to that glimpse that he sees, like a little snippet of what's happening in heaven for a second. And he writes it, and he describes it this way. He says, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne. Now, let me pause here for a second and connect to the first part of this series. I saw who? The Lord. How many lords? Exalted. Seated on what? How many thrones? That's it. There's one chair. There's not multiple chairs. There's one chair. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. It's one. So I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, these are like the really cool angels. These are like the all-star angels. Each with 6 wings. With 2 wings, they covered their faces. Why would an angel? I mean, when we see an angel, like, oh my God, that baby's an angel. What do we say? They're like pure. They're perfect, right? Here's an angel. Here's an angel. Not just an angel. A seraphim, like all-star. In the presence of God, as God sits on the throne, and with two wings, they cover their face. Angels are holy. Even angels cover their face in the presence of the Lord who sits on the throne. Notice the reverence. And I love that church has become more casual. I love that church has become more accessible. I love that we've made it easy for people to come to church and to encounter God. But when we come to God's presence, let us not lose reverence for who He is. Let us not lose reverence for what God represents. This is not just anybody, y'all. This is not just a good guy. This is not just a good prophet. This is the one who angels can't even fathom to see face to. I mean, He is so holy, so pure, so worthy that even angels in heaven cover their eyes because of the splendor of His majesty, glory, and His holiness. So with two wings, they cover their faces. With two, they cover their feet. And with two, they're flying. And they were calling to one another because they don't dare see God in His holiness, fully radiating from His character. And as they fly around the throne of God, what they're saying to each other is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." If you ever wonder, oh, I wonder heaven, like that's a glimpse. That's like a little window that opens and then it closes. And the time that it opens, Isaiah can see through and sees this scene for us to capture that holy is not just a word. Holy elicits the proper response. God being holy cannot be said without the proper response of recognizing what that means. And so when you see angels with that level of awe and reverence before God, it ought to give us an idea of what an amazing privilege it is for us today in 2023 to have access to that kind of God. How do you bridge the gap? Said differently, if God is too holy for angels, how can we, who are not angels, all the non-angels say amen. I don't want you to lie in church on a Sunday. All the non-angels say amen. Amen. How can we have access to that God when He's too holy for seraphim to even look at? How do you bridge that gap? More in a second. So not only does Isaiah, I wanted to start here because it gives you a glimpse of like heaven, kind of what's going on over there. But as God interacts with men, and as God begins to interact with His people, the children of Israel in the Old Testament, you begin to see scriptures like this, Exodus 15:11, who declares, "Who among the gods is like You, Lord? Who is like You, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?" These are the children of Israel post-Exodus. They had begun to see the glory of God, the power of God, the majesty of God, and the holiness of God. And so they declare that in a very powerful way. Now, 1 Samuel 2:2, the prophet says it this way: "No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides You. There is no rock like our God." And so early on in the Old Testament, as God begins to reveal more and more facets of His character to His children of Israel, And as I begin to get a better glimpse and understanding of who God is, this attribute of his holiness becomes central to their worship. It becomes central to their sacrifice. It becomes central to their need to connect with God. Now, God told the children of Israel something that is repeated in the New Testament. Let me say that again. God told the children of Israel something in the Old Testament that is repeated again in the New Testament. That's for all of us that might say, well, you know, if it's in the Old Testament, that's in the law, it doesn't apply to us. Well, if it's said in the Old Testament and reiterated in the New Testament, that means that this is not an old New Testament. This is just a fact. This is just a principle that needs to be obeyed throughout. Okay? Here it is. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, says this. But just as he who called you is holy. God is holy, amen? So, be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Holy Lord. Where is it written? Back in Exodus. God told the children of Israel, be holy for I am holy. Now, you don't know how to be holy, so let me give you some rules that'll help you be holy. Right? It started with 10 commandments. Eventually, it became 613 laws. 613 rules that have to be kept every single day in order to try to be holy. If it took 613 things that you'd have to do each day to be holy, and you wake up at 6 a.m., how far in the day would you make it before you break one of the 613? For all you who wake up angry, you're done. For all of you who just about cuss out your alarm, you're done. Your very first thought is evil. That's how you start your day. 613 laws to try to be holy as God was holy. Well, guess what? Like if that started on January 1st, on January 1st by breakfast, they were all done. They could never make it past the morning without breaking them. So every year, the high priest had to do a sacrifice to cover the sins of the people because everybody needed it. They were all guilty. And so the priest would have to offer a sacrifice to God. And once a year, he would have to go into the holies of holies to make that prayer. And guess what they used to do to the priest? They used to tie bells to the bottom of his robe. And they used to tie a rope around his waist and let him in. Why did they need the bells? And why did they need the rope? Because if the priest wasn't pure and holy himself, he would fall dead at the holiness of God. And that's where the rope comes in handy. Because you don't want to go get him either. Here comes Pastor Sam. He's a good guy. He wasn't ready for this. Because the holiness of God would strike you dead. If you mess with the holy things of God, he'd kill you. During revival, we talked about the importance of fire. Remember that? Yeah. But the Bible speaks that the sons of Aaron offered strange fire to God. What did he do to them? Killed them on the spot. You don't mess with God's holiness. And so the high priest, not just the priest, the high priest, like the best one. I mean, if I'm the high priest, like don't talk to me for weeks. I'm fasting, I'm praying, I mean, I'm going to be squeaky clean as best I can. And you better tie that rope really good, get a good knot. Because the holiness of God, you don't just approach it casually. You don't just walk in there like you own the place. You don't treat God like he's your equal. You don't talk to God if he's just like anybody. Oh, he's my man. God's my man. No. No, he's not. Not even close. He can be your God. He can be our Lord. But let's not pretend here we're equals. Amen? This is to me where the challenge is of church becoming too casual. I've heard people tell Pastor, you know, I know the Bible says this, but you know, my opinion, I'm like, well, stop right there. Love you, but your opinion here doesn't matter. Like, if the Bible says this, I just don't really agree with that. Okay. You have every right to be wrong. It's your right. It's a free country. I'm just telling you. We approach God as if we can negotiate on stuff. We negotiate with God as if we're like at the swap meet trying to haggle for price. Oh, come on, God. Would you take 5? 20? How about 15? I'll give you 10 right now. Cash, all at once. No. That's the challenge. When God and church becomes too casual. And we lose the Bible used to call it awe. Yeah. The fear of the Lord. Remember that? A lot of us grew up in those churches. It was like over the top fear of the Lord. Like the Lord is coming, you run. Like he's coming. Like he's supposed to be your father. How would you feel if you come home and your kids run and hide? That would not feel good. So we took that to the extreme. But there was a reverence for God. There was a recognition of who God was. We can't lose that, church. And so Peter says, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. The word holy here, as applied to us, not to God, as applied to us, simply means to be separate or free of sin. Not that you won't commit sin, because it's impossible not to for us, but to be free from it. You don't allow it to get roots in you. You don't allow it to grow in your life. Amen? That's the difference. So I you know, yesterday, it's amazing to me how God speaks to you if you're willing to just pay attention. Yesterday, I'm thinking about the sermon. I'm thinking about this concept. And I was walking my little dog in the front yard so it could do her business. And in our front yard, we have an area with artificial lawn, right? Kind of like this. And have you seen the process of how that's done, right? They take out all the stuff, they dig, and then they put dirt, and then they put like gravel DG, and and then they put plastic and this and this and that, and then they put this on, right? It's not just on top of what is there before. And as I'm walking the dog, I noticed on the edge where the sidewalk is, on the edge, you know, so this the artificial turf comes to the edge, and then the sidewalk starts cement. Guess what was there in the crack? How'd you know? A weed. And in that moment, look, I could say God, I could say my mind, call it what you want. I don't know. I'm not going to stand up here and say my prophet. I'm just telling you, in that moment, I was like, wow, you know, that's what God does with us. Cleanse us, purifies us with his blood. But there's always a little edge. Always a little edge. Now, what happens if you let those weeds stay there for a bit? Guess what one weed does? Weeds have friends. Weeds have kids. And before you know it, you got weeds all along the edge. What does that do? It just makes it look ugly. And I was thinking, man, that's what happens in our lives. God cleanses us. God removes the junk out of our lives. But there's always going to be a little edge in all of us on the periphery. Unless you walk around and inspect, That's what prayer does. That's what fasting does. That's what worship does. Worship and prayer and fasting is a little walk around the edge of your lawn. Because when you're not paying attention, stuff grows. Amen? And by the time you get to this end, a weed grew on that side. Now you got to go back. So how do we do this? Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Let me ask you, church, how could we ever do that? We're not good enough. We're not consistent enough. And let's just face it, we don't love God enough every time. Sometimes given the choice between sin and God, we pick sin. Sometimes when given the choice between picking the right thing or the wrong thing, we pick the wrong thing. We pick the wrong thing. We got to own that. So how could we ever be holy? As I get to the answer to that and connect it to Baptism Sunday and why we come to church and why we have a relationship with God, Hebrews 10:10 gives us the answer. Look at what Hebrews 10:10 says. So again, this is the call out, right? This is the expectation. Everybody say expectation. The expectation God has of us is that we would be holy, similar to the way he is holy. That's what the Bible says. That's Old Testament. That's New Testament. That's the expectation. Again, once again, everybody say expectation. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget, child of God, that is God's expectation of you. Amen? That doesn't change. That'll never change. God's expectation is that we try to be holy as he is holy. That's an expectation that never changes. And by the way, you can say, well, forget it. I'm going to leave a Lighthouse because they're going to go into holiness. Any church you go to ought to be talking about this. Right? This is not a religion denomination thing. This is a Bible thing. Yes. This is God's expectation of every believer. Amen? So let's not try to find the out. For God's will was for us to be what? Made holy. Don't lose that word. God's will was for us to be made holy. Not to become on our own, because the children of Israel proved that for thousands of years you can't do it. Not very well. And so I would tell you, every year the high priest would do a sacrifice, and then we shed all this blood of animals to cover the sins of the people. Amen? Notice the word, to cover the sins of the people. It didn't erase their sin. It covered their sin. Once a year, they would sacrifice all kinds of animals, like blood, literally blood gushing out, rivers of blood from the altar. They sacrificed all kinds of animals every year. And that blood was what covered, everybody say covered. It covered the sins of the people of Israel. And then guess what they did the next day, the children of Israel? Sinned again for 365 days. And guess what happened the next year? Same thing again, once a year. And so what you had was this amazingly highly stacked lasagna. Sin. Sacrifice, sin, sacrifice, sin, sacrifice, sins for hundreds of years. And the bottom line was, there's not enough animal. You're going to run out of animals on earth. There is no animal that you could sacrifice that can once and for all not just cover, but cleanse and remove. Because how many know that you can cover up your sin, but it's still there? No, how do you do that? And so that's why, as we get close to the crucifixion, as we get close to Good Friday, understand who's on that cross. That is the perfect Lamb of God that does what? Cleanses, removes the sin of the world. God in the flesh, in the form of Jesus. Colossians 2:9 says that in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. This is not a piece, a chunk, a percentage. This is God in the flesh on a cross. Why was Jesus born? He was born so he could die. He was born so he could bleed. Because the Bible said that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. By the way, God said that way back in the Old Testament. Guess what? God obeys his own word. God said, unless there's shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. It's the only way. So how does a spiritual being shed blood? That's why. So that's why I share with you at home in our Christmas, when, you know, the whole Christmas thing and Christmas tree. On our Christmas tree, every year there's a big nail this long. And I always hang it so that we don't forget he was born also that he could die. Got a big rusty nail this long with a red ribbon we hang on a tree. That's the one I get to put up every year. It's a reminder. Don't forget, he was born just so that he could die and obey his own word. Now, if God obeys his own word, who do you think you are to say, well, you know? No. His word is holy. So God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body. Notice this, made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. So the good news is we can be made holy, not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. We can be made. How many thank God that we don't have to try to do this by ourselves? What he did on the cross paid the price so that we can be made holy. I couldn't do this on my own, but glory be unto God that on Calvary he paid the price so that I could be made holy. That's the cleansing power of Jesus' blood on Calvary. As I come to a close, here's how it all connects to kind of what we're doing today. Hebrews 10:22 says, so this is Hebrews 10:10, right? Keep reading a few more verses down. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us go right into the presence of God. Hold on, stop right there. Stop right there. Let us go right into the presence of God. Stop right there. Remember the high priest I told you about? How did he walk into the presence of God? With bells and a rope. One guy out of the whole millions of people, only one could have access. And the one, I would tell you, wasn't happy. If you're the one, how do you approach that sanctuary? How do you approach that inner holy of holies? How do you approach, if you're the high priest, put yourself in the shoes of the high priest. This is just a person, just a human being like you and me. You're putting on your robe. You hear the jingle. Every step you take, it jingles. You know why they put the bells? So they know he's still moving. If you don't hear the bells, time to pull the rope. Get there with me for a second. You're putting on this robe, and as you're putting it on, it jingles. And then you put it all on, and the jingle stops. You take a step, and it jingles. How would you feel? Would you feel the responsibility, the weight? The weight of approaching this God? And as they're tying down the rope on your waist, what are you thinking? They're tying the rope, and your assistant pastor says, good luck, man. I've been meaning to tell you, I love you. Had a good run. I mean, what are you thinking as this? What are you thinking as a rope is being tied to you? I want to get off the stage right now. I mean, think about that. These were people. So connect the dots for me, from that to this. let us go, what? Right into. What? Where's your rope? Where's your bells? What? Let us go right into the presence of God? That God? Holy God? With sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. This is when the Bible becomes real. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. Without Jesus, I wouldn't get near that place. Without Jesus, I'd be way in the bouts. I would be way in the back. I'd be outside the tent. But because of Jesus, through Jesus, because of His blood, because of that water, I can go right into the presence of God. Not with fear, with a sincere heart, fully trusting Him. We'd all be dead if not for Him. We would have been stricken down. We've been stricken down from having the audacity to come into His presence. Without Jesus, there is no access. You understand that? Without Jesus, there is no access. Without Jesus, there is no access. It is because of that that we have access. It is because of that that we can get close to God. It is because of that the Bible says we can lift up holy hands. Not because we're holy, but because He makes us holy. So right there where you're at, every head bowed, every eye closed. Digest this a bit. Think about this. Pray about this. How should we live our lives in response to this? How grateful should we be in response to this? Accessing the presence of God. Accessing His presence is no little thing. It's no ordinary thing. It's no simple thing. Big, big price was paid so that we could have the access we have this morning. So this morning, whatever you're going through, whatever's happening in your life, whatever's holding you back, I have good news for you this morning. We have been granted access to the presence of a holy God who is willing and able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything you can ask, think, or imagine. We have access to this God. We have the ability to get close to this God. We have been cleansed. We have been made pure. We have been made holy because of His sacrifice on the cross. We have been given access into His presence. So right now, Lord God, we come before Your presence. We go right into Your presence right now with sincere hearts, fully trusting in You right now. We ask, God, in the name of Jesus, who died on the cross, who shed His blood so that we could have this access. We come before You right now asking, God, once again, cleanse us. Once again, purify us. Once again, make us whole. Any trace of sin in my life, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, through the power of Your blood, I ask that You cleanse me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I thank You for access. I thank You for Your sacrifice and the price You paid so that we could come boldly into the throne of grace. I ask right now, God, anyone here this morning struggling with sin, anyone here this morning struggling with guilt, Any here that feels far from you, I pray, God, that today, through the power of your Spirit, it will be drawn close, God, to a God who loves, to a God who cleanses, to a God who purifies, to a God who removes our iniquity and our sin, God, to a God who removes our transgressions as far as east is from west. So far do you remove our transgressions, God. We come before you right now asking, God, that you would cleanse us again, God, that you would purify us again through the power of your blood, God. For all of us who have been baptized, Lord, and cleansed through the power of baptism in your name, God, once again activate the cleansing power of your blood in our lives, God, that we may leave this place purified and be made holy like you are holy, God, not because of our acts, not because of our worthiness, but because of your greatness, your goodness, and the holiness you've given unto us. For all of that, God, we give you praise. We declare your goodness upon us this morning, God. We thank you for access. We thank you for your holiness given unto us. Pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. Give God praise one more time.
Hey, this is Pastor Sam again. If this message blessed your life, I want to encourage you to please share it with someone else. Also, please visit our website at gotolighthouse.org and consider making a donation to support our ministry so that we can continue bringing you content just like today's message. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.